The following podcast contains adult themes and adult language. Listener discretion advised.
And although we joke, if you or someone you know is affected by or a victim of domestic violence, dial 1-800-799-7233 or visit the National Domestic Violence Hotline's website, thehotline.org.
It's always the husband, it's always the husband, it's always the husband, I'm gonna kill you, baby.
Hi, everybody. This is Sarah.
This is Megan.
You are listening to It's Always the Husband podcast.
Hi, welcome.
Welcome to our podcast.
Sarah's back.
I am.
From her trip. You guys maybe didn't know that she was gone. But I was.
I haven't been able to post. I didn't post any pictures from our last week thing.
No.
I'll try to get some up because there was some weird.
Was there good?
That was the behind. That was the other millionaire that murdered an American wife. I think we did. With the head. He fucked the head.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yep. Yep. So the hard fucking of the head.
Yes. And welcome if you're new. Welcome if you're new to our podcast.
Sarah took a trip. Now she's back.
I took a trip and now I'm back. So
and
we are
now
recording.
We're crying about going back to the deodorant.
Yeah, the deodorant
facility.
That's going to suck major balls.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. It's hard, yeah. It's hard going from a trip to work.
I'm leaving for a trip this week,
I know.
Too,
and you are going again, so we haven't been together a lot. We have to get our Patreons together and get a plan for our Patreons this week. We're going to have a staff meeting with Gary. Oh, he's still in the hospital. And you and I. And get our Patreons together and get them some stuff. An episode
Gary
and some special
is
stuff.
Is milking this ball surgery for all it's worth. Like, we have Gary, you can't possibly still have infected stitches.
I mean,
of the ball sack.
Yeah. He says they're real bad. It's real bad. And I don't want to look at it. So I'm just going to take his word for it.
I'm hoping that someone is putting salve on his sack.
Ish. I mean, I'm sure he's salving his sack.
Because we need him. We need Gary back.
Yeah. Right. I mean, we're really professional, but Gary adds that extra, you know,
he
je ne sais quoi. We do have 3 new Patreons. We have.
I can't believe it.
We just are so grateful. And like we said, we're going to meet. We're going to get you some stuff because it's just we didn't expect to have one. And so this we're trying to kind of plan. But there is extra content on there, pictures and all that stuff already. So if you want some extra episodes just for you, where it's not always the husband.
Yeah.
So you might not know who does it on these Patreon ones. It's a mystery.
It's a real mystery. And we also send our Patreon stickers,
stickers. I'm trying to figure out a bumper sticker to send.
Yeah.
We're still working on our merch and working with a few things to try to get pictures drawn and up.
Right.
And so we'll send you a link to that.
Right. So who are these new
fans? We have
fans?
Taylor Milligan Sloan. Welcome so
Thanks,
much.
Taylor.
Taylor, welcome, 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 welcome. We love you. Angie Bounds.
Who?
Can you believe it?
Who?
Yes.
No.
We love her so much.
Angela.
Angela, welcome.
I mean, the best boss I ever had.
Yeah. Yeah, she
I actually got gifts for holidays.
She actually knew our names.
She did. And she treated us with respect.
That we were alive. She knew we were human beings that had a name and were alive.
And we will never forget
that
her.
Is all we need.
It is.
I know. She's the best.
Thanks, Ange.
And another Momoa Can you even believe it?
Do you have, are you set up for this?
I am. I
with
have
your
a Momoa.
Momoa? Oh my gosh.
Justin Ware is a Momoa.
Oh.
Welcome, Justin. We are so Justin! Lucky to have
Thank
you.
Thank you.
So here is Jason Momoa. I try to get a manlier one here. He is the famous little clip of him drinking beer and throwing at Tomahawk.
Throwing the axe thing?
The axe.
Oh,
so here
I
it
love
is.
This.
And it didn't work. Hold on.
Justin, that was just for you.
That was just for you. We're going to redo it.
that 3 seconds of silence is our thanks for you and your patronage.
Right here.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Hey, hi. I'm Jason Momoa. I like beer and throwing tomahawk. And if you're in Newfoundland, you should come down to Jackass's. Yeah.
He throws it
dead bullseye.
Right. Well, just guzzling a beer and says, yeah, motherfucker.
Mm-hmm.
So it's great. Thank you so much. Welcome. We love you. Check out our Patreon site. And those that for last week, I'm sending out the stickers now that I'm back. So I'll get all those sent out to you.
Because you all know I could certainly not do that.
We can have a staff meeting. Gary can at least lick
balls,
a stamp.
Yeah.
When he's not salving his balls.
Yeah. And so he's basically ruined it for us. And because I have too many children, I can't be bothered.
It's just hard when you have too many children.
I'm constantly, my brain is thinking about what recipes should I make tonight for my 500 children? I'm like,
and I haven't made a food in a long time.
You haven't made a food?
I haven't made any kind of a food. I just don't know how. I don't get it. What's this thing here?
Oh,
you turn it on.
God.
No,
it's exhausting.
I can't do it. I can't. Having a 20-year-old is way easier. You should try that. Try it.
I hope someday I will have some 20-year-olds. Yeah.
It's way easier.
I'm close with one.
You're very close with one. Kicking her out the door.
Yep. Booted. I feel like she might never leave.
Well, that one girl still lives here.
I know.
Jeez.
What if they both moved in to one of our houses together?
They will. Oh my God.
Just lay in their bedrooms all day long.
Yeah. Yep. That's all they'll do together.
Yep.
So what are we doing today? We are back. We have so many good shows that we're going to try and find that we found and do for you. So we're just kind of working through some. This one isn't new yet, but we have a few new shows coming up.
I actually did have a little time on my hands, not to do actual work of sending out stickers and such, but I did have some time to
you found some good ones.
Look for shows, and I told all my 500 kids, get the fuck out.
Yeah.
And I was in my bedroom by myself watching murder shows, and none of my children could be scared because of blood and gore and
obscene scenes.
Yes. And then I kept texting you about it, and I was like, ooh, here's a...
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
And you're like, I'm at Epcot.
I'm looking at Mickey's anus.
Sorry. He just blew his butthole right out his butthole.
He did.
And now he's a Patreon.
He is a Patreon. He has some cash. We went back to Deadly Affairs, which is the Susan Lucci true crime show.
God, she's so dumb.
Susan Lucci is 110 years old, and she looks great. I think.
She looks emaciated.
Well, she's way too thin.
Yeah.
I mean, I walked around Epcot the palest person in all of Florida. Was me. And you think it's not too bad. I mean, you look and you're like, it's not too bad because we're from Minnesota. We haven't seen the sun in a month.
Yeah, we haven't.
But you go there and Rachel and I were like, we were mortified at how pale we were. Like people looked at us and said, these women have time traveled from the 1700s and they have cholera. Except that one is fat with cholera. And then some of them said, these vampires are daywalkers. And then they said that one vampire is fat. She must really be good at catching people.
Really good.
She is bloated with
Holy
blood.
Shit. Does
but
she
then we
bite
walk
next?
By and go, look at those fat vampire.
Well,
that one has cholera. They're from the 1700s.
No, you could have been a vampire with cholera.
I was a vampire with
1700s.
Cholera. Yeah. From the 1700s.
Well, both of you have red hair.
Yeah.
So you're naturally translucent of the skin. Yeah. And
yeah, it was jellyfish like.
Yes. Yeah.
Except blood would give you more of a tan than what my skin was giving.
Yeah.
Humiliating.
Well, did you get any? I mean,
if I do, it shows up like 3 days later. Oh, and it'll really? Be like, oh, I get a little color.
Did you wear sunscreen though?
We wore
on your face?
A really good sunscreen.
Okay, good.
We didn't get burned at all. And it was like baking.
Did you use Super Goop?
No.
No.
Rachel had some mineral thing that worked really well. But then it also was like chalk, so it made us whiter.
Oh.
So we were literally like, ground wet chalk on our skin.
Queen Elizabeth Mary whatever,
Queen
and you powdered
Victoria
your face.
Or whoever powdered their face.
Yeah.
To cover up our smallpox and
you
cholera.
Should have done your red hair like that.
Yeah.
Queen.
With my forehead starting back.
Forehead
the back of the neck.
Starting.
And then they would have been like Queen Victoria, fat vampire with cholera.
God, you could have totally tricked some people.
Oh, I would have fooled the shit out of them.
Just fool them. All right.
So she looks better
happening?
Than I did. We are doing a Deadly Affairs. It is called Battle of the Sexes. Mm-hmm. We are doing the second part, even though the first part was pretty good, too.
It worked, too, but...
This is
this
season
story...
one, episode three, I believe. Oh, this story was just... Oh, God. Oh, jeez.
Well, the people.
The people. Yeah. The people did it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 2003, and I think we just did a 2003. So I just found a couple more things that happened to us in 2003. Okay. The man who gets me through my day at the deodorant factory, because his picture is literally up on my computer, Jack Ritter, who was Jack Tripper, passed in 2003, which was so sad.
Was it really that long ago?
I know, it was.
2003?
Yes.
Oof. Jesus.
I know. Mr. Rogers also died that year, and I thought he had died way before that. I don't know.
Why does it seem like that was just yesterday?
I know, because time
but it was 20
thing.
Years ago almost?
Yeah. Forever ago. And because we're old and almost dead.
Oh my God.
Except me, because I live another century.
Because you're
centuries.
A vampire. Yeah. Okay.
If you remember the VMAs that year, that is the year that Britney and Christina and Madonna had their three-way kiss, and it was so controversial. And yet I was like,
dumb.
Who cares?
Yeah.
Like, who cares?
Poor Britney, right?
No, poor Britney. God. And Madonna, what she's putting on her Instagram.
She's thirsty, isn't she?
She is.
Mm.
Yeah. I mean, she has 2,000 kids now. Just go to a vamp trampoline village with your kids and just sit on the side and read your book and why they jump. What do you have to put your boobs on there for?
You don't.
Madonna, we've already all seen them 100 times.
Yeah. And we've seen them in cones.
We've seen your boobs 100 times.
Yeah.
Go to Trampoline Village, take your kids. Do you remember watching when they had that weird on ABC, not that we remember channels, it was called Living with Michael Jackson, and that British guy interviewed him, and he was weird as fuck.
Yeah, yeah.
And he went to Neverland and just did this interview, and that's where he talked about sleeping in his bed, and he had the Band-Aids all over his fingers, and he did all that weird shit, and people were like, God, he's weird.
Do you remember when he had that he had a Band-Aid on his nose?
Well, because his nose fell apart.
Do you remember
apart.
That when he was going to court in his pajamas?
And then his nose fell apart.
Poor Michael. Why am I even saying poor Michael?
I know.
He's a molester.
Well, he was acquitted, but I think we all know. He wasn't right in the head.
Was he really acquitted?
Yes. Because if you you have money, you can do whatever you want. If you're famous, you can do whatever you want. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter at all. You just do whatever you want.
It's horrible.
If you have cash, you do just whatever.
How did I not even know? I guess I just totally forgot that
he was acquitted twice for two courts.
What?
Yeah. Ugh. Oh, God. I mean, why even try to be a good person? We need to raise our kids like you need to have money or just, you know, whatever. Be a dick. Because it doesn't even matter. You can be nice to people all you want. You're still going to get shit on all the time. Nothing matters except if you have grit. Except if you have money and you're famous, then you just might as well just go roll, be a tumbleweed and roll down the road.
I went to church twice this week, which is completely ridiculous, and I overdid it. My niece had her first communion.
Cute.
And so I went to Catholic church on Saturday night, and then I went to my own church on Zoom church because we don't meet yet together today. And I was really into it, and I was like, yes, this, I'm gonna be a good person this week.
And I just said, doesn't matter.
And now
I just agreed with
you. I was like, God, you're right, we should just tell our kids, just be rich and be dicks,
be a rich dick.
And I have heard two sermons this week, and still I revert back to my true nature.
Because you can do everything right, and then you just get shit on and shit on and shit on.
I know.
And again,
I was really
going to
take it.
Uplifting.
I was really going to take it to heart.
We choose joy, Rachel Hollis podcast. Wake up in the morning and choose joy, even if you are depressed.
And not sad, married to a Disney exec.
And poor.
And
you know you're just going to get shit on all day.
Yep.
And choose joy instead.
Mm.
Because that's the only thing you have to do. And then everything will work out and you'll become a multimillionaire and have your own business.
Some of my church friends listen, so I want to give a shout out to Tom. Because Tom, I just want you to know.
You have church friends that listen to this horrible drivel where we talk about balls?
You guys, well, I told Tom, his name is, well, one of our listeners' name is Tom, and he goes to my church. And
Jamie's Uncle Tom listens too, I've heard.
Oh my God, we have two Toms. And I said, Tom, I apologize in advance, just like, you know, how I say to my dad all the time, I'm sorry, Dad, I'm sorry.
Oh my God, your dad is mortified all the time.
And yeah, and so Tom was like, listen to it. And he said, I listened to it. He texted me and said, I listened to it. It's pretty funny. And I just wrote back, I'm so sorry, Tom. And he was like, please, that's not the first time I've heard any of those words. And
what?
I know.
Tom.
My church is cool.
I don't know.
I know how you
I like your church, feel, though. I know. I do like yours.
My church is a great church.
I do like
church.
Yours. Yeah.
But so I'm sorry to.
But I don't know if church
Pastor Steve
folk necessarily gravitate toward talk of balls and diarrhea first as their first choice.
I think you would be surprised.
Maybe they do.
I mean, somehow my church, we all found each other, and we're,
that's true.
Yeah, I think there's got to be some. I mean, people are real. They even though sometimes they're fake at church, like we're real people. You just have to find a church where you can always be real and don't have to be fake.
But then you have to have decorum.
Well, yeah. I mean,
I don't know. I'm not going to go into your church and. And then say, hey, did y'all hear that? Put that in your collection plate,
no.
Bitch.
Yeah.
Can you put my farts in there and then laugh like a weird psycho on bath salts?
Because I am keeping my money for me.
I think I would be quietly escorted out quickly. Ma'am?
We would just start praying immediately for your soul.
Yes.
And your gas.
Yeah.
Please soothe her stomach, Lord.
So this deadly affairs takes place in 2003.
Yep.
And it involves a woman named Janine. Mm-hmm. And I feel like she was a Jan.
Yeah. She definitely embodied her name.
She was a Jan. I don't feel like she went by the whole Janine. But so we're going to call her Jan.
Just picture a Jan or a Janine, and you'll probably have a pretty good idea of what our main character looks like.
Janine Setfin was 57 years old. I mean, so really right in the, you know, middle age right there. And it says she was more than ready for a little me time. You go, Jan.
Yes,
you
Jan.
Are more than ready. She had three sons. Can you even imagine having three sons? Absolutely not.
No.
My husband is one of three sons.
My husband is one of five sons.
Yes. And I can't imagine one day of going to Target with three or five sons. Can you even?
Not even with one.
No.
I have one son. I only have one son.
And you can't even go to Target with one son.
Leave his ass at home. I run out the door so fast. Bye.
So blessings to mothers of sons.
And
because
to Janine.
I just can't. Yeah. It's 1998. She's living in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Yeah.
Which I feel like is lovely. I've never been.
Yeah.
I don't know. And decides that Durham, North Carolina, is the town for her. She heard that the balls are great in Durham.
In Durham.
And she heads there to start a new chapter in her life.
Okay.
And Janine Jan is full of surprises because you look at Janine Jan and you think,
What do you...
I mean, you think handsome. And you think... I thought pubes at the top of the head. Pubes.
And then I thought teapot body.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Teapot. And
with pubes for a lid.
Yes. And then Jan Janine is a hardcore badass when I learned she is a classical cellist.
Yes.
I can't even. Someone who can play the cello, I feel, is unbelievably talented. That's incredibly hard. I would love to be able to play the cello. I love listening to the cello. This bitch was so good. She just joined the symphony in Durham when she moved there.
But she had never really done it before either. It was like
she was that talented at it. That is a hardcore badass.
Yeah.
Playing the cello like that is amazing. And so
she had all those kids and she had to like raise them. And
how did she do that? So she was incredibly talented. And I guess she was really smart, really creative, and super musical. Right. So she just had all these incredible hidden talents.
And her husband had died. So she was a widow.
And she was ready to kit it and kick it.
Hit it and kick it in Durham.
Yes.
Get their cello.
Her sons are old. They've moved out. She gets this job at the symphony. She's performing in front of crowds. She's an amazing performer. I mean, my God. I mean, I love people playing the cello. I like that sound.
I know you do. When I go to Brandi Carlile concerts, have you ever been?
No, I haven't.
She has a guy who plays the cello. And
I like the sound, yes.
He is amazing. Yep.
Now, on top of just joining a symphony just because you're that talented, she is a book indexer.
I don't understand.
I had to look it up, that is someone who writes the index of books. So she looks up and says, oh, they talk about jean shorts on page 57. And she makes the index. But then they said that was a... Susan Lucci said that was a titillating job. That is not a titillating job. That's a tit job.
Well, unless you're indexing a book about mammary glands or something. There's nothing titillating about it.
That is tedious. Oh, they talk about gear shafts on page 147 and 182. The periodic table is on 347 and 481.
Right, because it would never be like juicy novels or anything. They'd all Daniel be nonfiction. Steele,
where they say boners on page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Sex with Fabio on page. Yeah.
Well, that would help because that's all people read it for. You that's just true. See it for the sex
that's
scenes.
True.
Mm-hmm. Oh, jeez. So her day job is, well, her day job is the book indexer.
Right.
And then she must go
then
to
the symphony
the cello
at night. Yeah. No nighttime. Jealous.
The reenactment actors I felt were incredibly good matches
for both
Janine and then the man she meets that we'll talk about soon.
Right.
There is one other person that had a reenactment actor that did not match their real self because I side googled.
Oh, really?
We'll talk about that. We hear from her real son, Chris, who, I mean, really looks normal.
Yeah, he does.
And while they're talking about Janine, they're showing pictures of Janine where you can kind of see. Again, we know people, we're going to hell. If you're new at listening, yes, we say terrible things about people. And we love Janine. And we said she did have pubish hair. But she knows. She knew. Did just like, I know I'm a fat vampire with cholera. I know it. You can say it and I'll say yes. I feel she knew, but what are you going to do if you have pube hair? What can you do with
what
it?
What do you do with pube hair?
Yeah.
I have it.
Right. You just let
you
it go.
Straighten the shit out of it and you fry it every day. Come on, Janine. But get a straightener.
Did you notice this one picture where she's wearing 3D glasses for some reason? She looks like she's going to see Captain EO at Epcot.
She looked like...
Why was she in the 3D glasses?
I think she was
sitting
just
in a chair.
She was just up for a good time, Sarah.
Is she that crazy? That she would go to parties and say, I'm going to look at everybody, y'all. I'm putting on 3D glasses. Everybody else is doing cocaine and jankum, and she puts on her 3D glasses. That's her hardcore partying.
I really feel like that could be a true interpretation of that picture.
I just don't understand why they would use a picture of her in square 3D glasses. Again, where she looks like Hollywood from Mannequin. That's what she looks like exactly. Like those rectangle glasses. Why is she wearing them? What'd she do that for? I don't know. And their clothes were a little bit... like if you have like the weird aunt who likes to go to side... You know, you drive
boutiques?
To small towns and they have the weird art.
Yeah, yep, the art...
Art places on the side of the road
where
you
can
buy
get
a
hand painted smock
in a sweater
shirt.
With pom poms glued on it.
Yep,
I felt like she wore those kind of clothes.
She sure did, Sarah. That's
anyway. So she's living it up in Durham. Really, she likes her job indexing boners for romance magazines. Mm-hmm. She's a badass in the symphony,
and she has
a great house.
3D glasses.
She wears 3D glasses and is just the life of the party.
Yeah.
She has it all. They said almost. Mm-hmm. Because she doesn't have a man. She doesn't need to have a man. Having a man is the worst thing that's ever happened to womankind since the beginning of time.
I agree.
Why would she want this? Why? Janine. You had it all, and then you find a cretin that lives under a dumpster. Mm-hmm. You are doing just fine. Just fine.
Really, so, if you can pay for your own house.
She could do all of this.
Right? What now, in the fuck was she
thinking?
And
even her boss, her book indexer boss.
Oh, only, he had hot glasses.
Do you know who George R.R. Martin is? The writer of the Game of Thrones books.
No.
All right. Those of you who know, you know what he looks like. He has a weird ass beard. He's chunky. He wears suspenders. He looks like a super nerd. And he hasn't written the last book yet that everyone's waiting for 1900 years. So
is he still alive?
Yes. George R. R. Martin was her boss. This was her bookender boss. They were exact twins. So he was talking about her, and we get to know him a little bit. He lives in the middle of a woods in the cabin.
Yeah.
A cabin in the middle of the woods.
Yeah.
Just like I'm sure George R. R. Martin
a little Unabomber-ish.
Yeah, very much so.
He even had the glasses.
He had hot George R. R. Martin glasses, too. And suspenders. Janine had been a widow after being married for nearly 18 years. So that's hard. And going back dating, who would ever want to do that?
Never.
God, that seems like it would
stop and move on.
She just wanted a lovely gentleman caller. Maybe to take her to Denny's or, I don't know, pancake breakfast.
Why?
I don't know.
Janine, I would just call you. I mean,
call your friends.
Phil would never. I'm actually married and he would never take me anywhere. Like, if I want to do something, no. I have to call you guys.
Well, of course. She meets Rob Petrick. Rob Petrick is a computer consultant. So already nerd alert.
Alert.
Oh, he looks like George Costanza with a goatee. And he looks like he's about 5'1". Tall and wide.
He's, again.
Not a handsome man.
Unfortunate.
I mean, yeah.
Poor Rob. He had been recently divorced.
Right. So he moved to Durham to hit it and kick it. That must
Durham
be the
must
town
be the place.
To pick up some Wang and to pick up some
poonanny.
Poon. I didn't know this about Durham. God. Durham folk, you'll have to let us know.
Durham. What's that?
Now, where did they meet, Megan? Where did they meet?
Oh, I got really excited about this, didn't I? Because
they met
at a Unitarian church camp retreat.
For adults.
For adults.
And Unitarian, I didn't even know what that was, but they believe in one God and not the three triple
they're just
Jesus
real
God
easygoing they include everyone.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, they're great.
Now, what did their hands touch over, Megan, in the reenactment?
Was it potato salad?
It was potato salad.
Salad, potato salad.
Yes.
Take my plate, fill it up, and bring it right back. Yeah.
Potato salad.
Woo!
They are both dying to get some of this potato salad. Dying.
Said, take my plate, fill it up, and bring it right back.
So that they're both their hands reach out for the potato salad spoon at the same time, and they look at each other, their eyes meet, and boing, boner time. And Susan goes, page 57. And he says, what?
And she said, never mind.
Yep. And from that moment on,
can you take my plate, fill it up, and bring it right back?
They were together.
They made beautiful music, potato salad music together.
The potato salad brought them together. Now her sons are happy for her. They say she, you know, she met this guy. She starts seeing him. They have so much in common. They become instant love bugs. They're together all the time.
They said he was quirky, just like she was, right? With her ball sweaters.
Yeah, he had a huge CD collection, and he was into computer electronics.
Hmm.
That is the exact opposite of an artsy, fartsy, 3D glasses-wearing, puffed, tufted sweater wearer.
Yeah.
So I don't even understand what they would have had in common for 1 minute.
They liked music? If
I guess.
CDs.
Oh, I suppose. I don't know. But what are you going to do? So he and she, they have a picture that they're showing. And I think it was from their wedding, which we'll get to, where she is puckering.
Mm-hmm.
And his mouth is just slackjaw and wide open. And they are going in for a kiss.
She's got his hands or his cheeks like smushed together like this.
And then she's going to kiss him. It seems
like if you're puckering and his mouth is wide open, like a whale shark.
Is going to stick her lips right in front of his mouth.
The son says after 6 months of dating, or after the first few months, they move in. And then they get married pretty quick right after that. So it was very, very quick. They tie the knot in a quiet ceremony. The reenactment shows
hopefully at the Unitarian church picnic, maybe.
Shows them in love. She's playing the cello and he comes into the room. So she puts her cello down. She gets up and they kind of dance together. And then he slaps her on the ass and they go into the bedroom. So they are being sexy together. And it seems to be a really fairy tale happy ending, they say. But this is a true crime podcast, a true crime TV show, and that doesn't exist.
So y'all know.
Fairy tale endings don't exist anyway. And fairy tales were originally written, the Grimm's Brothers version, as
to scare the shit out of kids.
Horror. That- anyway. Bloody horror, which is the truth, the damn truth. So, of course, as men do, they go onto the computer and they're probably looking up porn and all that gross stuff that you think your husband doesn't do, and yet he's probably doing it right now as you are on your walk listening to our podcast.
Correct.
And you just
get home fast. No, and catch him in the act.
You say, please, please do it.
Carry on. I don't want to be here on. When
carry on. I don't give happening. Two shits.
Yep.
He is surfing the web and he comes across an old high school flame. I have a feeling because he's on the high school website because it's a dating site.
And he's Facebook or MySpace stalking.
So he comes across an old flame. They haven't seen each other for decades. Her name is Anne Kepner. Mm-hmm. I looked at paused the screen and looked at her interest she put on her dating site that he went to. So he's clearly looking for a date, even though he's a newlywed. Mm-hmm. So this guy is a butthole. Mm-hmm. If you're just looking at porn, who cares? Whatever. I wouldn't give two shits. But when you're trying to find a date, no, that's not how marriage works, you idiot.
What were her likes? And
Her likes were dogs. Chocolate.
What?
Again, and reconnecting with old friends. Not hanging out with your current friends. Who has a hobby?
Who's that hobby?
I don't want to reconnect with old friends as my hobby.
Oh, tonight I'm going to go look up, see if I can remember some names from high school.
Wait,
what? What would you put if you were in a dating site? What would you put for your hobbies?
My hobbies are avoiding human contact.
Yeah.
Avoiding going to work.
Yes.
Avoiding talking to people. Oh, I guess that's human contact as well. Avoiding seeing my family in the hallways of my own home.
Avoiding any cleaning.
Avoiding cleaning any sorts. Kind.
Yes.
And chocolate. Chocolate. And dogs.
Dogs.
Now, this bitch, her reenactment actor was a very attractive older blonde lady.
Mm-hmm.
A lovely blonde.
And her hair was blowing in the wind.
Oh, just lovely woman. Yeah. Now, the like real Beyonce. Anne Kepner, I looked up, is Eliza Jane Wilder. If you know from Little House on the Prairie.
Yes.
She was a short-haired Eliza Jane Wilder. So she looked like...
Did she have
Eliza
little glasses?
Jane. She had little Eliza Jane glasses.
Oh.
She was, handsome as all get out. This was not a woman that you stop in your tracks as you're scrolling or swiping. But
so
she obviously had something special because they had been aflames before. So
and she was married, right?
No, she was not.
Oh, she was not. Single. Oh.
He was married.
Oh, she yeah. was single. Oh, I thought she was
married. She was normal. Okay. She was totally normal. She was single, just looking for a date.
All right.
He connects with her.
No. Oh, yeah. Okay.
She was single.
Yeah, okay.
He connects with her and they start up a pretty hot and heavy relationship over the internet.
Gross, Eliza Jane.
Yes. The reenactment Eliza Jane has Anne in sexy red lingerie. Yes. Do you remember this? Drinking wine in bed with her computer, being sexy as she's typing. Who does that? She was not in red lingerie. We are all on the computer in our pajamas.
And it was
sagging,
yes,
and eating chips and spilling all over the front of our shirts.
My boobs are going both ways into both armpits.
One is out.
Yeah, and I am just typing away,
right,
looking like hell,
right. But she was sexy,
right? And I was just thinking, like, too, they weren't even having internet sex or anything because it was 2003, or
right,
not like we didn't even.
I mean, there would have to be on some sort of weird chat room where you type and it just shows
we
up.
We barely had cell phones in 2003.
Totally. You had a Nokia, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But their relationship heats up. They start having a romance. And of course, he never tells Anne that he is married currently because he's a huge dick asshole.
And she's in Georgia, right?
Yes, she is in Georgia and he is in North Carolina. His relationship, Anne and Rob's and Anne's relationship quickly progresses just like as fast as he and Janine.
Yeah.
Both Janine and Anne are in their mid-50s. Both are really kind of looking for a man in their life. So they, I think, are not looking at Rob as clearly as they would have. Or he is also, I'm sure, a great manipulator, finding maybe vulnerable women at the time.
Yeah.
Because this man is no Jason Momoa. He is no prize.
Correct.
He is not. He is not for the sighted. He is a triple. He is a bag over your head, a bag over his head. A bag over your parts. Plastic bag over your hands. A thick gloves over your hands. Yeah.
Like the rubber gloves used for dishwashing in the
1950s. You don't want to feel that. You don't want to see it. Maybe a clothespin on your nose. And a clothespin
under the bag
on his penis. And then you can do it with them. Sick. You get out the clothespins and the paper bags and he gets excited.
Yeah, and then you're like, okay.
Let's do it. What this dick would do is tell Janine, his wife, that he's going on a business trip. Mm-hmm. I don't know what kind of business this dick would do. And then in reality, he's going to visit Anne in Georgia and go hang out with her. And then I'm sure he's telling Anne he's going back home just to be by himself. And she probably wonders, if you're coming here for business all the time, why don't you just move here? Mm-hmm. I'm sure he had excuses all the time.
Well, but and every wife, even teapot pubes.
Yeah.
Can figure out when their husbands are all of a sudden, I'm gone again for work, I'm gone again. Yeah. Like, she's dumb.
Yeah, she was not dumb. Right. She was very smart.
She was smart, yep. And also, money started flying out the fucking window at this time.
That's what you need to do. And I know it's very easy for spouses, whoever your spouse is, or partner, whatever, you might have one partner that handles all the finances and stuff and the other one doesn't pay attention at all. That needs to stop right now. You have to understand all of your finances and look at it and understand it and not put a blind eye to it. I mean, I sometimes do, but you have to understand that. You have to know your passwords. You have to know how to get in to pay your mortgage. What are your passwords for your... How do you pay your gas and electronics?
You have to know how many insurance policies are taken out on your own life.
You need to know that. You do.
Of course you do. I learned...
You learn the hard way. Exactly. I know. Me too. I learned the hard way. But know it. You pay attention to it.
And now I'm like psychotic and I am the only person who has any clue in our
You can do it. It's hard, but you can do it. Now, money is flying out of their buttholes quickly. And Janine is thinking, okay, Rob is going on this business trips, yet their bank accounts are just not getting any more money. The money is flying out. What the hell is going on?
Right.
And then she calls him on it, which good for her, because a lot of people would just be like, oh, I don't understand these things. I'm not going to really rock the boat. You know, it's, I mean, money's hard to talk about sometimes and it's stressful.
It's very stressful. Yeah.
And Susan Lucci says, if there are two things that I keep my eye on at all times, it's my man and it's my money.
That's right.
If you have to keep your eye on your man all the time, that's too exhausting. Don't marry someone that you don't trust for 5 minutes out of your sight. Don't. It's too exhausting.
Well, correct. And no one wants a lazy eye to look one way at the money and one way at the man. Let's just focus on one thing at a time.
It's focus on the money.
It's the money. Yeah.
Oh, the money wins. Because remember what we said, you can be a nice person and all that. Give to charity, be this kind, loving, wonderful, giving person. Does it matter?
Mm-mm.
No! None of it matters.
I think it does.
Oh, because who wins in the end? The rich and famous.
Okay.
Oh, God. It's sad. You try to just be a decent person, and then you just get kicked right in the balls with an iron boot. Oh, geez.
Well, Janine was, she wasn't even really trying to keep an eye on her man. She was keeping an eye on her money.
And yeah, she was good at her money.
Was pissed off and credit cards were going unpaid and she was not about
that. Bills at weren't all. Being paid and loans are going into deferment though. But why isn't she? I mean, I don't know.
No, and
how she let it get that bad if her son is saying she was always consistent with that. But then, I mean, he must have been doing a ton of stuff behind her back.
Yeah.
But she found out, she calls it on him and he's telling all kinds of stories and it's not making any kind of sense to her. And she is suspicious.
Yeah.
And she's really, she knows that something's wrong.
And don't let yourself be, what do you call it? Gaslit.
Yes. About your finances.
Yeah.
If you know something's wrong and they tell you something's not wrong, that it's all in your head.
If you still feel it's wrong.
You are correct.
Yeah. It's a lie. I'm just going to eat these.
Yes. Go ahead.
Mint. What are these called?
Thin mints.
Thin mints. Yeah.
Meanwhile, Rob and Anne are picking up steam. So now we see in reenactment where this is every woman's dream proposal. You're in bed in your gross stained t-shirt with this big slob next to you.
Yeah.
And his gross stained poop underwear in a smelly bed. And he reaches over and just throws a ring in your face without saying anything. That's every woman's dream proposal. And that's what happened to Anne in the reenactment. His gross naked top and stained poop stained underwear, he leans over, picks it off the floor, turns around, and she's probably, you know, if it's in the morning, you just feel filthy and sweaty and your breath stinks.
Oh, yeah, stank.
And he gives it to her and she's like, oh, and says yes. I'd be like, you couldn't even take me to McDonald's? You couldn't even just go on a ride or just outside on the deck and ask? But you know what? It can be romantic, I guess.
She just wanted to get married. She didn't care.
She didn't care. You know what? She seemed like a very kind woman, actually, in the end. Like, she meant well.
Well,
she might have been a simpleton, but she meant well. So she says yes. She's incredibly excited, and Anne starts planning her wedding to Rob, totally still completely unaware that he's already married to another woman living an entirely second life in North Carolina. She has no clue about any part of that life. Do you talk? Do you say, hey, how'd you spend your week? Do you ask him any questions about himself to maybe get a hint or in that he has some kind of other life going on? Or are they're that good at manipulation, which men can be? I feel like Google him, maybe look him up.
Yeah.
Maybe ask a friend in common, since you both went to high school together, that could might know he's married.
Could you really Google people in 2003?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe you couldn't. But you could call up your damn friend Carol and say, do you know about Rob? And they were like, yeah, that dumbass got married in North Carolina a few months ago.
Carol didn't know shit. She was laying in the gravel getting fake shot up her crotch on forensic files.
That's true.
She didn't
busy.
Have time. She didn't know shit.
I know.
About what Rob was doing.
I guess. Who cared what Rob was doing? That's
well, Janine knew that her marriage was in trouble. She did.
Janine, yeah. At least, kind of had some instincts. And she knew, like, something ain't right. And this guy's a butthole.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, it's buying wedding dresses and getting all excited and planning her wedding. And this, and that's sad, too.
It is.
I mean, she was really happy and excited and looking forward to the future.
Yeah. Yep.
So this dick has a problem because he has one wife already and he's marrying another woman. And that don't work out so well. And I think it's illegal. And I think that's hard life to live.
Mm-hmm.
Have two wives in different states? What man actually wants
tricky.
Two wives?
It seems tricky.
I mean, is that a thing men want? I feel like they don't even really want one wife. They want, I don't know, maybe they do. Ugh. Now this is what the son says. The son says, my mom would have done anything to get through a rough patch in a marriage. She was a fighter. She would not have given up on the situation. And I wrote, why you're married to George Costanza. You are a brilliant musician.
You are a kick-ass symphony. Cellist. Yeah,
you have a job indexing porn books. You work with George R.R. Martin. You have your own home. Why are you married to this weird ass bitch? Why, Janine? Why would you hang on to this and fight for it? Just say, get to stepping, bitch. The money's mine.
Yeah.
I don't get it. Why? There are other... I mean, I understand. I do. If you want to work through it, I get that. That's your choice. But just know that, my God, there has to be someone out there that's better.
Or no one is better.
Or no one is better.
And you're fine.
And you're fine. And it's hard. When you love somebody, that's hard. But you don't have kids together.
Not that hard.
You can just say, get to stepping, bitch.
Yeah. So the sons kept trying to call their mom.
Right.
And Rob kept answering and saying, oh, she's kind of sick.
She's got the shits.
She's real tired. She's got diarrhea.
She's got high fever and she's got diarrhea. And then he would say, Janine, you want to talk to your sons? Oh, she said no. She said no way.
She said,
she gave a farting noise and a thumbs down. She did thumbs down. Thumbs down, Janine. Yeah, she did it. She said no way. She said, you're also adopted and she never loved you. And then he hung up.
And she's peeing out of her butt. Bye. Yeah.
So people were calling, and Rob, this is at the first of the year. So the one son said, I called her on New Year's Day, I think it was 2003. Yeah. She was really optimistic. So she knows her marriage is in the shitter at this time, but she's talking about, this is the year we're going to work it out. he said she was a strong, independent woman. She wasn't going to play the victim, but you're just going to let your husband spend all your money on another woman. That doesn't make sense. Whatever. But she was really happy at that day and just seemed like talking of the future. But like you said, over the next 2 weeks, they're trying to call to talk to her and she's not answering the phone, or Rob is answering the phone saying she's been really sick. And they're like, well, what the hell is wrong with her? And he's saying all this different stuff. Her friends are calling. She's not answering the phone. He's telling them she's really sick. She can't come to the phone. She's so tired. She can't get out of bed. And Susan Lucci then says this too. Every lady needs her beauty rest, but there's no excuse for neglecting your obligations. Well, there's tons of excuses for neglecting your obligations.
Yeah. Like, you don't want to go.
Yes.
Like, what you're too tired. Karen
says from Will and Grace, like, I got here as soon as I wanted to.
Yes. Sorry I'm late. I don't want to be here. Yeah. I have that shirt.
You don't have to do anything.
No.
And if you have 800 kids and you're tired and you don't want to go do one thing, you don't have to. Don't feel like you have to hustle all the time. And that if you can't do it today, you can't. Just getting out of bed and putting on a top is enough for our times right now. That's enough.
It is true.
It's enough.
It's hard. It's hard to put on a bra. And it's also hard to wear pants that have an actual waistband.
Yes, yeah. They're impossible.
I mean, besides the fact that I've gained 2 billion pounds in the last 6 months.
Everyone.
My stomach hurts when I'm at work because my pants hurt my waist.
We are no longer a culture that can wear pants.
No.
That's what I said. I've gone full muumuu on your shopping Facebook site. I've gone full muumuu. So I can't buy cute clothes.
Or my favorite Zia Everywhere. Yeah.
But I wear a Homer Simpson muumuu or a Thelma Harper Goes to Hawaii. Yeah. Mama's Family muumuu.
Yeah.
And that's all I'm going to wear from now on. Muumuu.
Yeah.
Muumuu. That's the way to go.
It is. As soon as I get home, I take the pants off.
Yep. You just take a plastic garbage bag, large, cut a hole in the top, size hole in large. The sides, put it over your head. It's plastic. You can eat your food and spill the shit all over your top, and it just drains down onto the floor.
Yeah.
I mean, it's cooling on the bottom because it's, you know,
there's some air. Wicks
away moisture. It's a good look. I mean, you can tighten the strings on the bottom and tighten it up a little bit.
Could.
It's chic.
Very chic.
You can have white or patterned or black.
Right now I have citrine lime smelling garbage
bags. Yeah, they smell.
Bags. Ooh.
I mean, I think that's the look.
I like it.
So garbage
just
bag is a look.
Nothing tight around your waist anymore. Janine had nothing tied around her waist. And then we see the weird boss.
George R.R. Martin says he tried to call her. They had a big presentation and she was very professional. And for her to really not connect with him or make it to their presentation was completely unlike her. He says, I was worried about her safety, which he knew that something was really wrong. He called her husband and Rob said again, she had the flu. She couldn't come to the phone. And then he started getting emails from Janine. And he said they lacked a certain je ne sais quoi.
Yeah.
They were very curt and didn't have her chatty style.
No.
Oh. So he was very concerned. And then he said, very nerdy, If I were on a TV detective show, I'd be getting very suspicious by now.
You know, I watch Murder, She Wrote.
Well,
and Matlock.
Matlock, for sure. And that Mrs. Scarecrow and King. Mrs. Scarecrow and Stephen King show. Scarecrow and Stephen King. Scarecrow from Wizard of Oz and Stephen King. They could make a good detective duo. He's like falling all over. If I only had a brain. And then Stephen King's just creepy as shit.
God damn it, with his pinched nose.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Remember when Stephen King got hit by a car? He
got smashed by that car. Jesus. Ran the shit over him.
Yeah.
And then he totally recovered. That's incredible.
That's like
and his, the movie. His son is an amazing great author.
Christine.
Yeah. No, it was Misery.
No, Christine. Well, Christine. The crazy car, right?
Yeah. Yeah, Christine.
Yeah, it was ran like a murderous car.
Christine was a murderous car.
Yeah.
And then Misery, the author, got in a terrible car accident.
Yeah, and then was his stuck legs with the was legs stuck with that psycho. And the hammer. Yeah.
So maybe he was inspired for all, I don't know. He got inspired by the weirdest and things.
By Scarecrow.
Yeah. Scarecrow. All stuffed with hay.
Oh my god. So no one can freaking
get a hold of this bitch. Janine. We don't know if she's just sick or what the hell. As it gets 2 weeks are growing into 3 weeks, they tell Rob, the sons, that they are coming to Durham and they're going to see their mother.
Mm-hmm.
They need to talk to her. Then, surprise, surprise, Rob files a missing persons report with the police all of a sudden, oh right after God. He hears the son say that.
Yeah.
So I have a feeling that she was dead on New Year's Day.
Yep, yep.
She'd been dead this whole time. She'd been dead.
Of course. Yep.
And he's just been saying she has the shits. Now, that works. Trust me, telling people you can't come to the phone because you have diarrhea, I can't come to the meeting, I have diarrhea, that shit works.
It was like one time when our boss said, why are you going to be gone, Sarah? And you said, because I'm having boob surgery.
Yes. Yes.
And he said, okay.
Yeah.
And he just turned away. That's the kind of thing you do. You say, I'm going to be gone because of boobs.
Do men get asked why they're taking a personal medical leave?
No, they sure don't.
They do not. But women do.
Yep. You should have said, I'm having surgery on my... I'm having reconstructive...
Vaginoplasty.
I'm having reconstructive surgery to turn my penis into my vagina.
Yeah.
Thank
and then
you.
He would have said, tell me more. Tell me more. What he tells the family then, that all of a sudden her diarrhea flu healed up real quick and she just went to symphony practice and never came back.
No.
The kids are like, that doesn't sound right. You just said she could not even get out of bed for 2 weeks.
For,
and all of a sudden she's playing the cello, one of the most exhausting instruments to play and sitting with diarrhea.
Yeah.
You can't do that.
That is hot squirts in your Depends. And it is just like
all
it's
up the
burning.
Back. Up your back.
Your butthole.
Yeah.
Your skin. It's caustic. Diarrhea.
Well, of course.
Do you remember when we had babies and they would have diarrhea and they would get red?
When horrible we had babies
rashes.
And you had to use the squirt bottle.
Yes.
At Disney World, do you know how many women I saw with literally week-old, two-week-old, three-week-old, four-week-old babies at Disney
Why?
World? Why are you there? You can't. You have to change those motherfuckers' diapers every hour. You have to feed them every hour.
Feed them all the time.
Your boobs are swollen. And do you have your squirt bottle? Because your crotch is ripped in half and you have to squirt with a squirt bottle. And
it's
I know you don't have your squirt
so
bottle.
So bad for at least 2.5 months.
Why are these women here doing that? I don't know. And then you're bringing your baby to a disease fest with all sorts of gross-ass humans?
I don't understand.
I don't get it. That's not fun to me.
No.
Oh, these poor women. Blessings.
I mean, unless they had
You can't
kids.
Go anywhere without your kid.
Right.
Maybe, or they maybe thought they would still be... I don't know.
Maybe their older kids, they were like, this is the perfect age for them. But then they fucked up and accidentally had another baby. And they were
true.
Like,
and you can't
I
leave
guess.
It with anybody
because
no,
it's a baby.
To them.
Yeah.
You have to feed them.
Yeah, you can't go
you
anywhere.
You can't do anything. A newborn mom kid's trapped.
No, for a year.
I know.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so hard.
Sorry to those moms.
She did not go to symphony because they decided to check it out. They drive to the symphony and yet her car is there, her van is there with her cello in the back.
Uh-oh.
And the cello is incredibly expensive. Of course it is. It's a symphony level
yeah.
instrument. She didn't buy it at Walmart.
No.
It nothing is making sense now. Her car is parked here. They asked the people in the symphony, her fellow performers, did she even show up to practice? And said she hasn't been here in forever.
No.
And now they're seeing that Rob's story is total shit. None of it makes sense. She did not go to practice. Where has she been? Meanwhile, his fiance Anne, who is happy as a lark, planning her wedding, buying yep. her wedding dress, and I'm sure she's consulting with Laura Ingalls Wilder on what
probably.
Kind of
what do you think?
Dress.
Half pint?
Yeah, half pint.
What
do
would
I
you wear?
Wear this with my girdle, and
my can you cinch my corset?
Bustles? Yeah,
real tight,
real tight.
What veil goes best with my tiny? Glasses.
Yes. My tiny, she had hexagon glasses, I feel like,
too. I feel like she might have.
This bitch decides to finally read a newspaper and sees her fiance on the front page because missing wife. And she sees this news article and there's Rob and there's his wife who is missing and it is front page news.
Yeah.
Even in Georgia. What she does is freak out because she realizes, oh my God, he's married. She's missing. I'm the other woman. All of this has been pretend. And she does the right thing and goes to the police
yeah.
and just says everything. Like
yeah.
she was a good person.
Yeah.
I feel
she
really
was a good
bad
person.
For her.
Yeah.
She tells the police everything. And the police are like, oh no. Oh my God. They realize this guy is a complete psycho.
Yep.
So there's way more to the story. They get a search warrant pretty much right away. Now, meanwhile, I had not been paying too much attention to the police officer that was commenting this whole episode until at this point, and I wrote weird mustache. He had a mustache that was almost like you drew it on with a pencil, but you shaved it to where it's like just like it was like a stubble, but just enough to see it right above the upper lip. So it looked like what a 15-year-old would have.
Oh,
it was almost like an Oliver Hardy Hitler stash, but just a little bit wider.
Huh.
It was the weirdest thing I'd ever seen. It did not go up to the nose. It went only halfway from the lip halfway. So it was, I mean.
So he shaved from his nose to where it started.
Yeah. And then it was literally just, it was like a mustache lip liner. Like a Carly oh. Jenner did a lip liner, but it was mustache.
Carly Jenner.
Kylie Jenner.
You know Carly.
I didn't mean to say
the
Carly.
Other
Kylie Jenner Kardashian. Did a lip liner, but it was mustache.
Okay.
That's what this man had.
Okay.
Very unique. They go in, they take his computer,
mm-hmm.
and they look through his browsing history. Now, it is not only him looking up old classmates to hump. He has been Googling how to dispose of bodies, how to cover up the manner of death, how to pretty much kill your spouse,
yeah.
just like that other yeah. douche we covered. Absolute buffoonery. They search all over the house inside and out. They bring a cadaver dog again, who's used to that corpse yeah. spray. He picks
your
up
favorite
on
perfume.
Yes, my favorite perfume because it smells better than my own natural
yeah.
scent. The dog picks up on corpse in the trunk of the car, the mm-hmm. bedroom, the shower in the bedroom. So did he bring the corpse into the shower and shower with her as a corpse?
I think he was trying to wipe the blood or run the blood off.
Oh, so he did not bring her in, her dead body into the shower for one last hurrah.
Ew. No, I hope not.
Oh, no. Did he reenact like a dance scene from Singing in the Rain in the shower with the corpse?
Da, 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 da,
yeah.
da, 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 da,
Meanwhile, that is a good movie. The police say, so we think she might have been killed in that bedroom. Geniuses.
Yep.
But it's all really circumstantial. I mean, is that? I guess. I mean, I suppose. They said they had suspicions of the family. They had the corpse scent in the bedroom. They had the looking up of how to get rid of dead bodies. Yep. How to perform a dance scene with corpse in bedroom shower. They had mistress. But they're still really not going farther because they do not have her dead body.
Right.
And they just let it go. They let it go a little bit cold and they just don't go any further. It's another 6 months before they get a big pickup in the case because, again, some poor bastard fisherman out in a lake or woods. What does he find? A dead body floating in the lake.
Stay out the rivers. Stay out of the lake. No, you're going to catch a dead body.
Absolutely.
Do you really want that?
No.
Do you want the trauma?
No.
Let's stay indoors, folks.
That fisherman that saw the dead woman with the legs sticking straight out of the lake. Oh, and to be found dead with your legs and cooch sticking straight out of the river.
I'll never forget that as long as I live.
That's how you're discovered.
Also, the reenactor who played that fisherman.
Yeah.
His eyes got so, he's like.
And then he was 1 foot away the whole time and then notices 2 hours in, wait, that's the latest coochin' legs up in the air.
Those are legs like Barbie sticking straight up.
Right up. Straight up. Out of the water.
But poor Janice was not because when they found her, she was covered in sleeping bags, covered in a tarp, was duct taped, and then had chains wrapped around her.
And that's how I have to wrap our state.
The cords, all of our microphone cords.
From Randy.
Because Randy
doesn't work.
Right.
Still doesn't work. And this didn't work either.
No.
Doesn't work. She was. Her body in all of this still was floating by the edge of the lake. And so they found that. And it clearly looked like if you looked at it, you're like, that's a body.
And then you could see they said human hair.
Yes. Oh,
I mean, her pubic hair.
I know. It's just that's you give your life to your sons. You give your life to your family. You're a gifted, talented woman.
You spent 6 years gelling those curls and trying to keep them in check. And this there is, they are.
And this is just sad. Like, God, just to be thrown away. It's just, who does that to somebody?
Rob.
Yeah, he's such a horrible dick. Her body was identified through dental records. Which I'm sure it needed to be, being at 6 months in a lake. God, awful. Mm. They figured, I don't know how they did, suffocation was the cause. So there had to be, I don't know, some.
Well, maybe if there were lungs and they could see that there wasn't water in her lungs, then they knew she hadn't breathed it in. So she was dead before she got in there. I don't know.
George R. R. Martin says, what's notable about Jan Janine is that in a million years, you wouldn't have expected this to happen to her. Well, or anybody.
Anyone. Yeah.
You don't expect this to happen to anyone ever. You don't just think your lady in the cubicle next to you is going to be wrapped in a tarp and thrown in a lake.
I mean, I like her, but she might be murdered someday and be found in a tarp.
Now that you say it that way, there are people that I could see. Jesus.
But murdered by you.
Yeah, but her sons were, they said, I'm glad they had no idea where she was for all this time. And so you know, that anxiety and pain. Yeah. And then to find that she's dead, they said it was a different kind of pain because now my mom's gone. Like, it's final. Yeah. My mom is dead.
So
and she
sad.
Was murdered. And to have that kind of pain, I mean, just absolutely so tragic and traumatizing. It's just so sad and unnecessary.
Yeah.
The next day, Rob is arrested. Thank God they dragged the shit out even more.
Right?
Charged with Jan Janine's murder. And then they find that this bitch had a lengthy criminal history.
Weird. How did not look I don't them know. Up? Oh. But remember, it happened to our other girl. One. And he was like,
shot that guy in the neck. fuck?
I got a tattoo that says "Whores Are Us."
Yes.
That's my company.
Oh my
god.
Well, what? Him and the one before that who shot the guy in the neck.
Oh yeah.
Oh, and then the "Whores Are Us" guy.
The guy
oh my
from
god.
New Orleans. Yeah, Jesus.
Absolutely dumb. Google your spouse right now, everybody. Google him.
Yeah, Google him.
Oh my god. He had 10 to 20 years worth of writing bad checks. I feel like that's such an 80s thing to do, write bad checks.
It is.
Yeah, like that's something like a dynasty type thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. Wait, for your cigs.
Yeah.
You wrote bad checks to get your cigs. He would steal money. He swindled a ton of people. He used a lot of vulnerable women. That was his shtick. He would find vulnerable
yeah.
women, steal from them, move on. Vulnerable women, steal yeah. from them. He committed fraud over and over and over and over. So there is this podcast I really like. It's like in the top 10 right now of true crime. And it has been. It's called Red Collar.
Yeah.
It's audio check. I like it a lot. They cover Peter Porco like we did too in our Patreon.
Poor Peter.
But it's all about fraud, people who commit fraud
yeah.
or white collar crime. So what
yeah.
red collar crime is when they murder to cover up their red collar crime. And so not
uh-huh.
all white collar crime criminals do that, but a lot keeping that fraud lie is so important
yeah.
that they'll murder to keep it. No, I mean, not really realizing that, okay, that's even worse. Crime.
Mm-hmm.
But that's when he realized his fraud. She was a badass. She was going to turn him in,
yep.
have him prosecuted. She probably said, "You're going to jail, you fucker, and you're going to pay me back all this money," because he took about $48,000 from her, they said at the end. And he realized he was going to go down.
Yep.
And maybe she found out more of his history. And he is a white collar criminal, probably snapped and then committed murder to cover up and protect his fraud.
Yeah, plus he wanted to marry Eliza
Jane.
Well,
and he already was moving on
yeah.
with Eliza Jane. So this, I mean, just, God, what, this guy is a complete weird asshole.
Mm-hmm.
They felt that now, so this argument probably happened where she, you know, accused him, told him, it's up, bitch. You're going
yep.
to jail. And he probably just right then suffocated her, suffocated her with whatever, covered her up with whatever blankets, whatever were around, taped her up and threw her in the lake right then that day or the next day.
Hmm.
And then made up a lie that she was too sick to come to the phone, thinking, was that going to last forever? Like, what were you going to do
yeah,
for the rest of the time?
Still got diarrhea. Like, no one can have diarrhea for that long without
right.
going to the hospital
exactly.
to get some liquids.
Of course. So he's arrested on trial. This bitch defends himself.
He did.
Only the dumbest of the dumb would do that. I mean, Ricky from Trailer Park Boys always does, and he usually gets off all the time. But you don't defend yourself.
But not in real life.
Murder one.
And the whoever the voiceover was at, like some news anchor
right.
or something but who
said,
was talking about
yeah.
it. She was like, he was way over his head.
Right.
He didn't know what the fuck he was
dumb
doing.
As shit.
Yeah.
Women, one woman after the other, was called up as a witness, just shredding him, saying, you know, you stole from me.
Yeah.
Creating this pattern. Eliza Jane herself gets up and
yeah.
tells her story. Like, he was engaged to me the whole time he's married to her. And pretty much saying that she said, I was going to be next. I would have been murdered next if I filled this out. Like,
can you imagine him
yeah.
cross-examining? Like, so you're saying that I stole money from you? Yes.
Yes, you did.
So you're saying I scammed you out
yes.
of... You're saying I had an affair with this person while I was with you. Yes, you did.
Oh my God.
Like, oh my God, how dumb can you be?
A moron. The jury goes out. They take 2 hours. Mm-hmm. Do they even have
they
time
wanted,
to have
they
their
wanted
sandwich?
Their lunch. They
yeah.
wanted a sandwich.
And first degree murder, guilty.
Yeah.
He has a life sentence. He's still in a North Carolina state prison. That does not sound pleasant. Mm-mm. And then we see her sons again. I mean, they were just so sad. Like, here is this educated woman just finally trying to get out and have
she
her
was a
life.
Widow. She had loved someone
else. She raised her sons. She wanted to have a life for herself. And she meets this idiot. Oh, God. Oh, it's just so sad. I don't know. I mean, and she was a smart woman and she was fooled. And sometimes you just can be fooled.
But then she got unfooled and she called him on it. And then she got killed.
It's a dangerous situation. Yeah. I mean, you don't know when. I mean, how many women call their husband on their bullshit and then they end up getting killed?
I mean, right. And like our tagline is just pay for the divorce. But like in this case, he for sure wasn't going to pay for it because his whole goal was to get money from. Right. People.
Yes. So listen to Red Collar. You'll kind of understand like the psychology she goes into of once your frauds you've been committed is coming to an
it's
end.
Just
they freak
so
out.
So much narcissism and so much covered right. assism.
Yeah. Oh, that's what it is. Yeah. They freak out and they can't get this lie cannot get out no matter what. Oh, awful. Anyway, if you wanted more content, you can join our Patreon. Otherwise, we would love if you just gave a review. We have another good review I'm going to put up this week. We got one that was so nice.
I like those.
Or give us a rating. We can really use more ratings. We would love to have more ratings. That's, again, how we get more noticed so people notice us. We have a Facebook group and page and Instagram and all of that. So
very
if you'd like
fun.
To join,
yep.
We would love to have you.
Thank you.
We will be back next week with a new show, I believe. We haven't covered this one.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that goes.
It's rock and roll.
It is weird as hell. It's so terrible. Oh, God. Anyway, till next time.
Bye.